The jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is, well, it's Thursday. It's Thursday already. It's January 14th, 2016. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful, blustery, windy, cold, snowy northwest Pennsylvania. Well, we're heard live weeknights, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Star Radio Network. I want to welcome everyone to our program tonight. Folks, we're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can watch us live on our YouTube channel. In fact, if you go to HagmanandHagman.com, it should be playing as we speak right down below the four box block there. You should be able to see us. Just going to see us right there. Scroll down. Come on. There you go. All right. I'm just kidding. But you can see, you go to HagmanandHagman.com and we should be live and in person right there on your computer, your iPad, your iPhone, and your eyeballs. All right, we're glad to be. And by the way, if you can't see us there, just go to our official YouTube channel, and the link is off of HagmanHagman.com, also HagmanReport.com, which is where an aggregate of articles will be, and then I'm going to be posting some of my thoughts to HomelandSecurityUS.com as well. So we're going to have three different websites going, and for your viewing information and entertainment. So, folks, in case you don't know, I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator researcher and, of course, most importantly, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. It's what I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. We dig deep into topics captured the captured Illuminati-controlled mass media won't and will never do. While many people adhere to the conspiracy theory or coincidence theory of history and geopolitics and current events, we don't. We look at the conspiratorial aspect, awakening others to the truth and the real news behind the headlines. I want to thank everyone who's tuning into us tonight. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us tonight. You know, we're all in this together. We really are. We're all in this together. If you're listening to this, you're part of this. We're just trying to find out what's true, how we are being gamed into captivity, gamed into subjugation, and gamed into things that we really shouldn't be being gamed into. You know, the world is a really a big chessboard, and certainly we are part of it. And we're being used as the pawns, perhaps, in this game of 3D chess. Folks, before we get started, I want to remind everyone portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Nuts.com. You know, I got to talk to the head nut of Nuts.com. Oh, what a nice guy this man is. And, you know, quality control, that's our number one concern at Nuts.com. Nuts.com, microphone code HH. Nuts.com, microphone code HH. Nuts.com, microphone code HH. What a great guy the head of Nuts.com is. Family-owned business since 1929. If you like peanuts and snacks and, wow, man, go to Nuts.com. Type in HH. There you'll get just a wonderful special there. Four free snacks with your, it's a $15 value with your first purchase. New customers. Nuts.com. What a great website. What a great offer. And in fact, you'll know you're in the right place when it says, hey, you're a Hagman and Hagman listener. It might not say that. It might appear in type. And more appropriately, it might say, hello there, Hagman listener. I do suspect that's what it'll appear. And then you know you're in the right spot. That's Nuts.com, microphone code HH. And while we're at it, the beautiful, joyful sound of music, the tones, frequencies, music, it can affect your moods, it can affect the way you think, and it can calm your stress, reduce your anxiety. Goodness. I have it piping in everywhere here into the studio and offices of the Hagman and Hagman Report. It reduces various bad thoughts, and it really can change the way you think. What am I talking about? WholeTonesLive.com. 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 Folks, check it out. More on that later. Have a wonderful show for you planned tonight. Planned for you tonight. Wonderful show. Joe, it's great to have you here. I see you're busily looking at
through some emails here.
Looking through some.
Got so many accounts that I, it's hard to keep track of them all, but we have a great show planned for you guys tonight.
Well, speaking of, if people want to interact with us, or if they have a comment, question, concern, or just a general, outline. And to Dean in London, we did get your email. We have seen your material. Yes, you're right on the money there. So if you're listening to this, Dean in London, you can send an email saying, okay. But yes, we did. So yeah, it's the studio at HagmanHagman.com, Joe. That's where we're looking.
Absolutely. And we have a number of things we want to talk about tonight. If you notice the topic of the show, and let me just pull up the YouTube here to make sure I have it correct. It is...
It's kind of an odd title, if you will. Because we're going to be covering a lot of information that's important for everyone to really get into.
Keeping America Safe from Us.
That's right.
Wording it that way due to the fact that the government continues to encroach on the liberties and rights of Americans through executive actions or other unconstitutional laws and or treaties. And at the same time, they put out publications saying that if you believe they're doing so, you are a violent, Looney Tune
national security
extremist.
Threat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just an example, it talks about, and I mentioned this the other day, the New World Order. We know that in 1991, on September 11th, the George Bush Sr. gave a speech where he used the term New World Order, saying that the New World Order, now is the best time to bring in this New World Order, one in which the goals and objectives of the UN's founders could be implemented and realized. And he said a lot more than that in more than one speech, but the one speech that I'm referring to is September 11th, 1991, exactly 10 years before the New York City and the 9/11 attacks in the Twin Towers and the Pentagon in Pennsylvania, if you will. But in the one of the latest unclassified law enforcement sensitive reference aids, it lists an ideology of a potentially violent extremist. And they say this is a belief in a new world order. This is a conspiracy described by militia members as a plot by a secret cabal of powerful individuals whose goal is to create a one-world socialist government under the auspice of the United Nations. The U.S. government is seen as collaborating with the New World Order to strip Americans slowly of their freedoms in the takeover, which allegedly would involve establishing large numbers of detention camps for American dissidents. And again, this is a... This is an ideological belief of what they say are violent militia extremists. Anybody who opposes federal and state authority or regulations.
Can you document that?
People who have been known to adopt anti-government belief systems, sovereign citizens movements, white supremacist movements, and violent militia extremists. And they say that this... violent militia extremists often combine anti-government beliefs with various conspiracy theories. Some tout the existence of a despotic New World Order or cite apocalyptic or end times beliefs to support their outlook. Individuals within both of these nonviolent elements of the militia movement and the more violent extremist minority profess that militias are the last line of defense in protecting the U.S. Constitution and freedoms against the federal government that they see as increasingly eroding citizens' personal rights, property rights, and the right to own firearms.
Now, tell me what the source is on that.
Of Homeland Security.
Okay, so this is coming, folks, this is coming directly from the Department of Homeland Security. This is sourced out. What's the date on this?
Well, this date is August 2011.
Right. This is old now.
This is a republished
correct
assessment due to the increase of the militia activities we see in the western part of the United
Keyword.
States.
Keyword. This has been reintroduced into law enforcement today. So anyone out there saying, well, you know, source it. We just sourced it. Department of Homeland Security, original publication date, August 2011. Right?
Yep.
So if you believe for one moment, and I'm sorry to raise my voice. I don't mean to sound. I don't want to sound like I'm ranting.
I want
to
pull up the text of George Bush's 1991 speech, just so we can get things clear.
Thank you, because I really, you know, people. I got an email today, and from a longtime listener saying, you know, you had a source of material. And I wrote back to this person, and we had like a four or five email dialogue. I said, well, we do source. And he wrote, no, you should source, you know, be more precise in your sourcing. And I thought, you know, I finally, okay, fine. Because, you know, the problem is, well, how do you know it's true? All right. Well, okay, here it is. It's right from, see, do we have to have a program? For example, should we like source everything, footnote everything, in terms of when we speak? Okay, we try to do that anyway, but I guess we have to really, you know, push forward on this.
Well, some people come into the understanding of what's going on, you know, late in the game.
True, that's true.
Other people have a vast knowledge of things that have been going on and what has. Been said and what has been done and the lies that have been told and the manipulations and cover-ups that have been perpetrated against the people. And some people come into this with no knowledge of any of these things that have happened.
Very true. Very true.
It is always important to back that up.
And I guess that just makes good sense, right, to do that. But here we are, and I don't think anyone... would dispute the fact that if you are a constitutionalist, if you're a patriot, if you believe in a pro-life, especially if you're pro-life, I don't think anyone in our audience would dispute the fact that you're on the targeted list. In fact, there's a name for the list, the administrative index list, and you can look it up, ADEX list. It's no secret. But then again, you know, people say, well, stop because you're scaring people. Well, no, you need to know this because this is the standard by which we are all being looked at by our government today. So,
okay,
go ahead.
In 1991, and I'm sorry, this is not the September 11th. Well, I don't know. One says September 11th next to the video. The other one says January 29th at the State of the Union address.
Well, anyways, September 11th.
There were two speeches.
Right.
One was given from the Oval Office, one was given from the State of the Union. And it starts as follows. What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom and the rule of law. Such a world, worthy of our struggle, worthy of our children's future. And apparently I'm getting... bits and pieces of it here.
But the
actual
get the idea, right?
Speech that was given in front of Congress on September 11th, 1991, the president then, George Bush Sr., talked about the fulfilling the goal or vision of the UN's founders. And he says, when we are successful, and we will be,
and
we have a real
be.
Chance at this new world order, and where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, can be fulfilled.
Right.
Anyway, and here's the transcript. But back to the whole point of this. A newly declassified document from September 2011 lists the ideology of violent anti-government, violent militia extremists, anti-government extremists, sovereign citizens, and anybody who goes against the federal government and their power, or has an anti-government sentiment. They say that the conspiracy theory to believe that there is a powerful secret cabal whose goal is to create a one-world government under the auspice of the United Nations, a government that is collaborating with a new world order to strip Americans slowly of their freedoms, in a takeover which would involve establishing large numbers of detention camps for American dissidents.
And
this,
you know,
is listed as conspiracy theory, or what some would say is, the Southern Poverty Law Center would say is, you know, this is,
it's actually hate.
It's a hate belief.
Yeah, yeah.
And they go on to state, even before the New World Order ideology, that the militia extremists are groups or individuals who facilitate or engage in acts of violence directed at federal, state, local government officials or infrastructure. And they also state that the reason they do so is because the government is, their belief is the government is deliberately stripping Americans of their freedoms in an attempt to establish a totalitarian regime. These individuals consequently oppose many federal and state authorities, laws, and regulations, particularly those related to firearm ownerships.
And there we go. And now we're off to the races.
Yeah, and this is what it's all about. Protecting you from yourself. Protecting the country,
protecting America from
the
us.
Citizens of the country.
And that's, you know, it is, when we approach this from a Christian standpoint, just me as a Christian man, and again, not as pastor or minister, just me as a Christian man, I look at this and I think, okay, we've got a responsibility to our families. If you're a Christian man out there, like I am, we have a responsibility to our families to protect our families from danger, protect us from danger. And a lot of times people, Joe, including some people in the, all of the primary media, as they would call it, but many people in the alternative media tend to either go one way or the other with this. They either go really far on one side, saying, you know, you're going to have, you know, your doors are going to be kicked in tonight, basically, or take it really far one way, or they go too far the other way. And we are often captured by the paralysis, like what I like to say, the paralysis of analysis. And, we, you know, sometimes it's right there before us, but we tend to not see it. And this is important. So this has been to recap.
Okay.
This has been reintroduced. Go ahead.
The, I found actual, transcripts of the original speech that was given.
Right.
Let me just make sure that the date is correct.
Yeah, it's September 11th, 1990. And then you had
1991.
And you're
10 years before the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001.
Well, there were two speeches. Now, there was a January 1991 speech as well.
Correct.
Okay. And but so regardless, now the dates are important because one, I think, was the inaugural. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm looking here to see if they...
But regardless, the George Herbert Walker Bush, a high-ranking member of the many, you know, Skull and Bones and secret societies, stated flat out, right out, man.
Which Skull and Bones holds a lot more power than people think,
yeah,
than I even thought.
That's right.
Just from doing the research that I've done, Skull and Bones is actually... you know, they have the secret societies inside of secret societies. They have initiated those in the know, yep. Like we have the Freemasons, where they have 33 degrees, according to Albert Pike and many others. You know, but not until you get to the highest levels do you understand, which I find hard to believe. I think you would be able to see that a mile away, but it's not until the highest of initiates who understand that they're worshiping the devil or Lucifer instead of...
Yeah. There's a massive deception out there, and it's easily, you know, it's very easily to get ensnared in that. But with respect to the Skull and Bones, I believe what they allow 15 people into the order every year, and you are invited. You cannot volunteer. There is a deference to the children or offspring or relations to Skull and Bones members. And, of course, don't forget, Tim Russert had talked about this and had asked members of Skull and Bones, I think it was George Bush, George W. Bush, and others before he died. Okay, so I'm not saying there's anything odd there.
No,
as a matter of fact,
I had it wrong. 1990, September 11th, 1990.
I'm sorry, I thought that was what you said.
1991. I thought it was 1991.
But there was a January 1991 speech as well.
January 16th, 1991.
All right. Okay.
Where Bush goes on to use the phrase New World Order. He says the New World Order, where the rule of law governs the conduct of nations, in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Right.
Now, what are the visions of the UN's founders? That would be my first questions. Out of these troubled times, our objective, a new world order, can emerge. Today that world is struggling to be born, a world quite different from the one we know. Right. And it goes on from there. He talks about the rays of light, the thousand points of rays of light.
That thousand points of light is very demonic.
Yeah, it is. It has, if you read, Bailey.
Alice Bailey.
There is a, I forget the name of the book. There's a few books she has written, which were actually, as Russ talks about, demonically inspired.
Russ Dizdar, and, we're referring to.
Yeah, and you read these books, it talks about these rays of light and what they actually are. They are described as rays of sunshine or sunlight, but in reality, it's part of the United Nations Lucius Trust New World Religious rituals.
Yep.
And I'm not sure exactly how they fit in or what their definition would be, but this is an all-encompassing, the people who have run this government, from the people who've been elected to the people who've been selected, like Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Hillary Clinton, have all talked about it.
Keep that right there, because I
even Rockefeller, in his book, in his memoir, on page 405, says, and I'm going to paraphrase, that he says, some people accuse me and my family of being part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the American people to establish a one world order. And he says, if this is the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it.
Right.
And that's kind of cutting it down. But that's in David Rockefeller's own memoir.
Yeah.
And we have the Rockefeller file right here. I'm sure it's in there. But there is no shortage of... You want to find speeches on who is talking most about the New World Order? It is the heads of government, the heads of states, and those people who are in positions of power in the United States government. The only people that I see who are calling out the New World Order are not violent extremists. There are those who are just calling these people out for what they are.
That's right. Here we are, folks. We have a lot of news to cover. There's a lot of news in the background, a lot of headlines, a lot of important stories. There's gun control, and keeping America safe from us. This is what the executive actions. When Joe thought of that title, I thought, man, that's exactly what they're trying to sell us on. That's the bill of goods that we are being sold, keeping America safe from us, from you and I, from the people who put God, guns and guts first. Now, you might think that statement is pretty earthly and it is, I suppose. But when you have reverence for and obedience to God, and again, I'm speaking as a Christian man, clearly defining my role here, when you have reverence to God and a fear of God, because fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You don't have to fear any man before you fear God. I mean, there's carnal fear, but there's the spiritual fear of God, which is,
once
you better have that.
Once you get to a certain understanding and relationship with the Lord, that carnal fear dissipates.
Not
that it won't go away completely,
right,
especially in situational instances.
We're human, so
I come in the studio early, and my dad's in his pajamas and kind of jumps out of the office door at me, and I you know, jump back in fear.
Now you take that back.
or, you know, yeah. you find yourself in the middle of
some people have a fifth of whiskey in the desk where I got my pajamas.
But that is a human reaction, that initial fear. But as long as we can control our thoughts and understand,
well, right. Look, anyone without a earthly fear to me, okay, now explain that to me. You got to be Looney Tunes, because what does that mean? You don't fear if you're edging close to a mountain.
Well, it's not so much as a fear.
It's a healthy respect for...
Say a healthy respect. At the same time, it's a, you know, we have our human nature, which is carnal, versus spiritual nature. And they are... basically at war with each other constantly. So it's a battle.
But if somebody's shooting at you, okay, you know, you're going to I would say you're going to be afraid. You're going to have fear.
I've never been shot at. If I'm not afraid, I hope I am very aware and what's it, flight or flight?
Right. I got to tell you, I was shot at once. And I did. You know, the weird thing is, I didn't know it at first. And that's really kind of strange. It was this. I'll tell the story. I was.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
I don't think. Did I ever tell you this? I had to tell you this. It was 1978, 77, okay. 77 maybe. It was in the late 70s. I'm not going to pin a date on it. And I was working on the rescue squad at EMS in a city, in a paid position. Actually, now that I come to think of it, I was shot at twice, but the second time, not really shot at. That was somebody shooting themselves, but that's not a different story. But anyway, so I was working on the ambulance and the ambulance rescue.
Oh, okay.
And we pull up to this house, and I wasn't driving, and it's dark in the middle of the night and kind of gloomy, and I don't know. I mean, it was just, you know, kind of one of those. And it wasn't a bad neighborhood or anything. The call, I mean, I remember the facts, but the call was, unknown. I mean, it was an emergency call, unknown type of medical emergency. So, and this is, now you can understand, this is back before all the EMS call centers and everything. You know, this is back when actually rescue squads, for example, in a city had telephone numbers you would dial. There's no 911, at least not where we were at. So, or you called the operator and they connected you. Yeah, I'm old, okay? And of course, the ambulance that I was in had one of those, didn't even have a light bar. It had a single one of those, you know, lights, the single lights on top, right?
Okay.
So I got out of the passenger side and there was like a crack I heard. It wasn't a gunshot, a crack. And there were, you know, the light that's on the top, the pieces of plastic fell off the roof. From the ambulance light.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, you know, that light just exploded. And I kind of looked at my partner at the time and I said, Dave, I said, well, what, did you see that? What happened? Hey, he looked. What?
Somebody was aiming at you, or?
Well, I don't know if they're aiming at us, but they got the light. Okay. And he said, "Wow, you know, I don't know, man. We looked back because trying to see if there was like anything that low branch or something. I mean, because you don't expect that, right? You're not expecting that.
What was it in the year 2000, 1999 or 2000 on New Year's celebrate Erie? There was a woman downtown, actually she was a young lady, a teenager, yeah. I believe. And you know, people go outside and after midnight and shoot their guns in the air. I think a bullet traveled over 4 miles in the air and came down on this lady's head.
A young girl, actually. And it caused,
she's still, messed up from
it. Yeah. It's horrible. But anyway, so the pieces of plastic fell and I'm looking at it and again, we were just really confused. We thought there was a mechanical problem with the light. Or the little monkey or hamsters inside that were, you know what I mean. So, however, our curiosity was satisfied and we received answers when The next thing we know, the window behind, not the driver's side window, because the driver's side was facing the actual house where the shots were coming from, but the window behind the driver's door exploded, and you could hear the shot. At that point, it was like a holy cow moment. There was words said that we, you know, today, I don't have to repent, okay?
And but that's why,
I mean,
one time we were doing an investigation in New York, central New York. I don't know if you remember this. This was a long time ago. And you sent me to the door of a man who was sitting on his porch, and I had a shotgun sitting right next to him.
Well, you don't think I was going to go?
No, it was funny because I was younger, and I'm thinking, is this really smart? I'm going to go up and lie to this guy for a pretext to talk to him.
I figure that.
He's sitting right next to his gun on his little rocking chair on the porch, like he just waits for people to walk by to.
I figured if he came back, it would be okay. Anyway, but see, again, so did I have fear? Of course. You'd be stupid not to have fear. And a healthy dose of it, you know, as you're diving into the back into the front and, you know, steering with your, I'm not sure how my partner at the time, Dave, I'm not sure exactly. I remember him like laying across it was a bench seat or no, there was a console in the front, but he was laying across. I think he had one hand on the accelerator, the other hand on the steering wheel. Both side doors were open, and we were blowing down the street with both doors open, and trying to get away, obviously, and underneath the any kind of shots, and it was ridiculous, it was crazy, but it was fun.
To talk about the gun control, the New World Order, and the United Nations,
and by the way, that speaking of I will say this. The guy who had the gun, there's no law that would have stopped that man from getting that gun. Okay? Because I remember the follow-up on that, and there was no law at all. That would have, unless you go
to
the confiscations.
Was this one of the cases that was, in the rural areas of the states?
No.
I was going to say, because I think people are just born with guns in certain parts of the country.
No. Gun control is what's being thrust upon us right now.
And disarmament, as the UN will call it. And they start with nuclear disarmament and move to small arms disarmament. And this is what they're moving towards now. I mean, how many nations in the world are nations that have citizens that have populations, or citizens that are armed as a population? I mean, there were a few too long ago. Australia was one.
Well,
but they turned their guns in.
Yeah, if I can, if you don't mind, let me do this real quick here. We're talking about gun control, and folks, you've heard these numbers, you've heard statistics, you've heard the stories, you've heard all the talking points, but against the backdrop of what is happening to us or what they're planning for us, Obama does want to take your guns. Obama wants to take you out as well.
It's more than Obama. Obama's the face of it now.
Thank you, yes.
But, when Obama was still in diapers, when you had people like Kissinger and Brzezinski who were running the scenes in the shadows, and sometimes in public as, Secretary of State and whatnot, these people were the people who furthered the agenda. The New World Order, as we say, is not new at all. It is the original world order of a government void of God and set up by a tyrannical small g God king,
right,
demanding complete worship of himself over God. And that brings me to what I found in this book, Leviathan. From Thomas Hobbes, 1651. Folks, if you want to, you can get a free copy online. It's called Leviathan by Thomas Hobbes. It's a 647-page book, and it deals with four parts. One is, they don't have them listed here, but it's about the Commonwealth, the union of church and state, and the design or the final cause, as he says, the end design of a man, is to love liberty and dominion. In the beginning, you'll see restraint, but throughout the Commonwealth, they say that the conditions of war and the laws of nature, justice, and equality will lead men to their most fallen state, their most derogatory and evil way of a natural living. And to this end brings about an end of a world, of a society. And not just a society as America, the Commonwealth. I mean, look at the history of nations. When you look at what was the last republic that had control of the world and fell, it was Rome.
Well, arguably so. You're talking about, well, I'll just leave. Okay, I'll stipulate to that. Go ahead.
I mean, and if you take, we talked about Atlantis and what that government was, that was also a republic, was it not?
Atlantis?
Yeah.
Well, yes, Plato. But yes, yes, it was according to legend, right? According to, okay. The point then, being what?
Well, you have monarchies, you have dictatorships, you have different types of authoritative governments.
I guarantee somebody's going to take issue with that, saying Atlantis was not a republic.
Plato wrote his book, The Republic.
But there are people who don't. Yeah, I understand that. Yes.
And I'll clarify it. I'll make sure I'll look it up, because I just had his book up, open, and I know right where we're talking about.
I mean, regardless of what Plato said or regardless of how it's described, you have people saying, you're talking about Atlantis, even though...
The point I'm trying to make is any man-made government, whether it starts out as a monarchy or it starts out as a constitutional representative republic, all ends the same way.
But here's how it ends, too, and let's get back to really the subject at hand. Again, Obama doesn't want to take your guns away, okay? And he's doing this, and this is part and parcel to the bigger agenda here, which includes tools at his disposal, the executive actions, the executive orders we know about. What about the TPP? What effect is the TPP going to have on this? And it's going to have a chilling effect on gun ownership here in America. And it's going to have a chilling effect on speech. It's going to have a chilling effect on things that you haven't even thought of yet. And no one's talking about this.
Did you read about the Atlantean Treaty? That they were in the 40s that they were trying to sign, which is exactly what the TPP and the new European American Treaty
TIPA or TIPP yes. and TPP and TIPA, right?
And they talk about this, right. Very openly. That here,
okay, and you hold that book up because so people can see it. See, this is not a new agenda. The TPP is not a new agenda. It's the globalist is not a new agenda.
They say the future of federalism came at a time when other U.S. political leaders and many of our best friends in Congress were afraid to even mention such words as federal or union in connection with Atlantica, lest they arouse controversy and opposition from misguided patrioteers.
See, okay, stop right there, because oligarchs, because we do live in an oligarchy, obviously. And you saw the panels that we had put up, the images we had put up on Monday, I believe it was, for Monday's program. You know, this is we talked about the elections yesterday. This is a single party platform, really. I mean, this is nothing but an oligarchy in which we live. If you're listening to this in the United States, and I would even say that goes even more for Canada and of course any Western nation. In fact, as you see on your screen right now, if you're watching this via YouTube, it's a big club and you ain't in it. That's what oligarchy is. And if you look at the images above that, the pictures of the different people in there, they're all laughing and having a good time. Of course, that reflects the nature of what an oligarchy is. It's what's good for us or what's good for them is not good for us. Or
right.
You know, there's a distinct separation between the serfs and the ruling class, and that's what it is. So Republican, Democrat, Cruz, Trump, Hillary, it don't matter. It does not matter. I should be more accurate.
Just a few quotes from this. The United World Federalist was formed in 1947 by two CFR Norman cousins, James P. Warburg, whose statement, promising world government by conquest or consent, one of the most famous slogans of the Rockefeller Front was one world or none. It goes on to state that it says Americans cannot, you cannot expect Americans to give up their freedoms in a one foul swoop. They do not expect Americans to accept this world government overnight. Like water dripping on a rock, they plan to wear down all opposition in time.
And in order to do that, Joe, and folks, this is part of what we're talking about here, or a big part, they need to disarm us. Now, let me go through some facts real quick here. And folks, again, you know these, but...
These are the gun control?
Yeah. Okay. Let's put all this in kind of in one place and some quotes. We put together some things because this is not, again, this is not a new agenda. Aristotle, both the oligarch and the tyrant mistrust people and therefore deprive them of arms. You hear so much talk on the left, from the left, about we as conservatives, Christian conservatives, have this... we have to have this, our guns, because we just distrust our government. Well, listen to Aristotle. Both the oligarch and tyrant mistrust people, therefore deprive them of their guns. See, they have it backwards. Or they think we have it backwards. No, we've got it right. Just listen to Aristotle. How about John Adams? Arms in the hands of citizens may be used at individual discretion in private self-defense. This, according to his speech in 1788, a defense of the Constitution of the Government of the United States. Let me go through a couple more here, just real quickly. For power to concentrate and become dangerous, the citizens must be disarmed. Of course, that is from an article, "Death by Gun Control." That's the that's from a specific website, the jpfo.org website. Concentrated political power is the most dangerous thing on earth. For power to concentrate, become dangerous, the citizens must be disarmed.
Okay.
Now, I just want to draw your attention to this because you talk about consolidation of power. There are two quotes here that talk about concentration and consolidation of power. Have we not seen that under Obama with respect to the IRS and the merging of the healthcare system, the takeover of really one-fourth of our economy and merging it under the IRS and in so many other avenues, so many other areas of our federal government, this Leviathan from to kind of segue off of what you were referencing. So mm-hmm. This is what this is.
And let me read from
go
this.
On.
It says, the only way to erect such a common power, speaking of a commonwealth, as may be able to defend them from the invasion of foreigners and the injuries of one another, and thereby to secure them in some such sort as thereby their own industry and their own fruits of the earth, that they may nourish themselves and live contently, is to confer all their power and strength upon one man or upon the assembly of men, that they may reduce their wills by plurality of voices unto one will, which is as much as to say, to appoint one man or assembly of men to bear their person and every one to own and acknowledge himself to be another of whatsoever he that so beareth their person shall act or cause to be acted in those things which concern the common peace and safety, therein to submit their wills, every one to his will, and their judgments to his judgments. This is more than consent or concord. It is a real unity of them all in one as the same person, made by covenant of every man with every man, in such manner as if every man should say, every man, I authorize and give up my right of governing myself to this man, an assembly of men on this condition. This done to the multitude to unite in one person is called a commonwealth.
And notice that we still have commonwealths here in the United States, Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Commonwealth of Virginia. Why is that? Have you ever stopped to think why that is? That's a whole program by itself, but there you go. I just wanted to bring that into the mix. Folks, in 1920, and let's just go through this real quick. In 1929, Soviet Union, they established gun control. So from 1929 to 1953 in the Soviet Union, about 20 million dissidents, they were unable to defend themselves. They were rounded up and exterminated. And that does not include the 30 million that Stalin starved to death in the Ukraine at that same time. So,
is it called the unknown famine?
Right. And please bear with us here, because we do, this first hour is laying the groundwork for a really interesting second hour and a very important second hour. Okay. But we need to get this out, because this is all going to be tied together during this program. Look at the various stats and countries. In 1911, Turkey established gun control. Between 1915 and 1917, 1.5 million Armenians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. And people say, well, gun confiscation does not equal, you know, tyranny or extermination. BS. China, gun control, 1935. So from 48 to 52, 4 years, well, actually 5 years, inclusive, from 1948 to 1952, 20 million political dissidents were rounded up and exterminated in China based on gun control in 35. Guatemala. Who does that? Guatemala. They established gun control in 1964. From 1964 until just, 1981, 100,000 Mayan Indians, unable to defend themselves, notice that phrase, were rounded up and exterminated, were killed. Uganda. Idi Amin. Anyway, they established gun control in 1970, from 71 to 79, and this is frightening, to say the least. 300,000 Christians in Uganda in that period from 1971 to 79 were rounded up and killed. Now, the total dead from the Uganda operation is 2 to 3 million, and that includes various other religious sects that were involved. Cambodia, 1956. You know the story about Cambodia. Gun control. That was established in 1956. From 1975 to 1977, upwards of 2 million, and that's a low estimate. Mm-hmm. Educated people, people with glasses, women, doctors, lawyers, anybody with an education, they were rounded up and exterminated. Defenseless people rounded up and exterminated in the 20th century because of gun control. We're looking at 56 to 60 million at a very minimum. Gun owners, Australia. In Australia, remember what happened in, what year was it? 1996. The Australian government, and we hear people talk about this, right? About, well, the Australia and the Australian model and the British model. You get these really educated, Marxist people on Democracy Now with Tom Hartman and Amy Wackadoodle Goodman, and although she has some good stuff sometimes, and I gotta give it to Tom Hartman too sometimes. You know, they're misinformed, but, and certainly brainwashed. But anyway, in 1996, the Australian government confiscated how many weapons? 640,381. That's the official total. Gun owners in Australia were forced by new law in 1996 to surrender their guns. 640,381 personal firearms were destroyed by the government, costing a program that cost Australian taxpayers over $500 million. Imagine that. See, they're not only going to take your guns, but they're going to charge you for taking your guns. And that's the Australian model. How'd that work out for Australia? Let's take a look-see, shall we? Well, Australia-wide, homicides went up 3.2% after the gun confiscation. Mm-hmm. In Australia, assaults went up by 8.6%. Armed robberies up 44%. Think about that. In the nation state of, or in the state of Victoria alone, homicides with firearms up 300%. Law abiding citizens, especially Christians who have a misguided idea of Romans 13, will turn in their guns. The criminals are not going to do so. The criminals are still going to possess their guns, and the misinformed and misguided Christians under Romans 13 are going to be helped by the clergy response team to do it. this is sad. This is sad. So the next time someone talks in favor of gun control, please remind them of history. Please. And if they attempt to rebut the history, you've got to have a rebuttal for their rebuttal. So it's very, you know, think back to World War II. Remember Yamamoto, Admiral Yamamoto? He's the guy who crafted the attack on Pearl Harbor. Remember him? Why didn't he, you know, Joe, why didn't he invade America? He decided not to invade the country of America because they knew most Americans were armed. Now, they couldn't, at that time, they did not have the weaponry, of course, to like, they didn't have an atomic bomb or some sort of bomb. It would have been just a horrific thing to invade America, given the state and given the fact that they were, that most Americans were armed. And it was reported that, actually, Yamamoto, and I didn't know this, and I wonder how many folks know this, Yamamoto had attended Harvard University. Did you know that? I didn't know that. He had attended Harvard University from 1919 to 1921. He was a naval attaché to the United States from 1925 to 1928. This guy was in America. He knew what America was all about. Most of our Navy, of course, was destroyed at Pearl Harbor, and our Army had been deprived of funding and was ill-prepared to defend our country at that time. And, well, even Yamamoto said, when he was asked why Japan did not follow up the Pearl Harbor attack with an invasion of our mainland here, his reply was that, look, I lived in the United States, and I knew that almost everyone, almost every household had guns. Is that a reason, perhaps, to resist gun registration and confiscation under the pretext, which is being really billed to you under the pretext of gun control and reasonable, sensible gun control? When anyone says reasonable and sensible gun laws, no. Run, or, you know, be very wary of that, because they're neither reasonable nor sensible.
In the in Plato's Republic, it talks about, and I'm just going to paraphrase through some of this.
Sure.
Because it's very detailed.
And this all connects, so go ahead.
It talks about the beginning of the Republic, and it is, you know, first, they say, the first care of the rulers is to be education, of which an outline is drawn after the old model, providing for an improved religion and morality, in a expansion in music and gymnastic, poetry, art, harmony of the individual and the state. It said we're thus led into different stages where morals, education, religious, and science are changed. And it says such a state is hardly to be realized in this world, but to the perfect ideal succeeds the government of the soldier, this again declining into democracy, and democracy into tyranny, and in imaginary but regular order, having not much resemblance to the actual facts. When the wheel has come full circle, we do not begin again with a new period of human life, but we have passed from the best to the worst, and there we end.
Well, history keeps repeating itself because people refuse to learn the lessons from history. And it's interesting because the Illuminati power brokers, and we're going to be talking about the Illuminati here in second hour, but they seized control of public education and the textbook writing curricula prior to World War II, and have refined this, and as they begun really to count down toward this time when they would take our right to keep and bear arms as a precursor to seizing our guns. They did not want a wide understanding of history, in which you just referenced there too, is how they are impeding and our understandings.
What has surprised me most is I remember starting to study the Commonwealth and the Republic and the different forms of governments and their endings, is that from all I can gather from people who've lived it and who've created it and wrote about it, is that the Republic is the worst form of government, in the sense that it lets man get the ultimate freedom and of themselves and of their lives. Where they have the free time, the time to be, when you're not busy, what are you? Can't think of the word. You're content, and you are, you have free time. You know, you're not constantly working, or doing something of purpose, and you just degenerate. And as the society degenerates, it goes towards their own self-interest.
Atrophies. That's right. Folks, we're going to be right back. You're listening to the Hagman Report. On the other side, some mind-bending information I guarantee you're going to want to hear this. Oh, have we got an account for you? I'll be right back after this. Stay with us, folks.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.